Hey, what's happening? It's Doug here. I'm going to pop in before the episode and let you know that if you're watching this on YouTube, then we're not going to have the full video. So funny thing, Carl and I were out at the Economy Conference and there's a couple episodes that we recorded out there. I decided I didn't want to bring my camera gear. It's kind of heavy. It's a little bit of a pain to set up, but I thought, Carl has a fancy sort of newer phone. I have a pretty old phone. I need to upgrade. It's like 7 years old. But I was like, Carl, can we record it on yours? He's like, no problem, buddy. We can record it. So in this particular episode, we only recorded about maybe two thirds of the video and then it just cuts off. So if you're watching on YouTube, you could just imagine what happened later and we'll put in some still frame for the finale of the episode. And then we had another issue in an upcoming episode, which I'll describe in the intro for that one. But thanks for checking out this one. We always have a blast at Economy and crazy thing. The tickets are like half sold out. Like apparently people enjoyed it so much that the early bird tickets sold out within a couple hours. And I was even late getting in, but I got my ticket. Carl has his. Most of the folks that we were interacting with, I think they had picked up their tickets too. So if you're interested, definitely check it out. I bet we have a coupon code or something like that. So check the description if you want to hang out with us in Cincinnati next year, next March in, is it 2025? Okay, I'll shut up and send it to the show. This is a random show from Economy. This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to FI, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview FI experts, side hustlers, people on their way to FI, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, Cincinnati. Doug and I are in Cincinnati. Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Carl Jensen, and I just said your name, but say what your name is again, co-host.
I'm Doug Cunnington.
Doug, what is happening? We're at Economy in the lobby of the conference hotel.
Yeah, it's awesome. We just we got in last night. We avoided the snowstorm. This will come out in a couple weeks, but there was a big snowstorm hitting Denver, and we were able to get on flights a little early, and we made it out here. And it's pouring rain and there's lightning outside too, but we're here safe in the Fairfield lobby.
Yes, it's going to be great. We have our opening party to look forward to in a couple hours, and it's going to be a really good time. We need to pace ourselves, go to bed at decent hours. Our party starts at 6 because we're old and none of that 10 o'clock stuff. Doug, I hope to be in bed by 10.
I hope so too. And, you know, we say that, like, we start the party early, but we're starting early right now with a beer. I'm drinking a Rheingeist Truth. It's their IPA. It's pretty good. And there's going to be an event there at Rheingeist right on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you drinking? You got something too.
This is a Rheingeist. It's juicy truth. So I've got a juicier version of yours.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I saw those. It's hazy. You know, it's hazy. So I was like, I'll leave that for Carl.
I appreciate that.
So today is a random show. What do we have going on?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about our recent trip to see Mr. Money Mustache Pete and a bunch of other fun people at Cul-de-Sac, the walkable community outside of Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to talk about, Doug, you just had a courageous battle with pink eye, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. My new fitness routine, a Facebook interaction I had that I regret. Doug's rolling his eyes at the moment, and he should. And maybe a little bit about Doug's wife's impending retirement, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, she would be nervous that we're talking about it, because at the time that we're recording this, she hasn't put in her notice, but by the time this comes out, it'll all be clear. So I'll hold the episode if I have to, but we should be in good shape. But yeah, this is just a random catch-up episode, and we'll probably think of a couple other things while we're just chatting. So let's get started with Cul-de-Sac.
Yeah, it was my second time being there, so I had a little bit of a notion of what it was going to be like. But Doug, this was your first time. What were your impressions of it? And maybe describe a little bit what it is before we get into our impressions.
It is a carless community. That's the goal. A carless apartment community. And it, so when I first heard about it, before I did any investigating, I was like, oh, cool. It's like a little town that is built where you don't need cars. But then when I looked it up on a map, I realized this is just an apartment complex without parking places, which I was like, well, that's cool. I mean, you can use other space or space for other things. But at the end of the day, I was just like, this is an apartment complex that has no parking. And it's more than that. You know, the people that would move to a place that don't have parking, there's a certain kind of person that wants to live in that community. So that's part of it. And when I did, again, investigate further, there's retail built within the facility in the community, and there's courtyards and stuff. So all that sort of checks out. But that's the main idea. It's actually on an old light rail line. There's good bus systems, and there's, you know, the transportation is there if you need it. And it's in Tempe, as sort of a suburb or part of Phoenix, and they have a Waymo. Is that what it's called? The driverless cars?
Yes.
And legit, yeah. Like, most places don't have it, but like, there's cars driving around with no drivers, and the wheel turns and stuff like that. There's cameras and a bunch of stuff on there to make sure they don't, you know, run into things. But that is another thing, right? So you actually can get around pretty easily with a lot of different transportation options. So what did I miss?
Yeah, I think that's all accurate. They also give everyone an e-bike. So I think you're actually assigned an e-bike. So that helps you get around. And that part of town seemed to be more biker friendly than most. I think there was a bike lane right out front, and they had some trails that we actually got to go on. But the two things I think a community like this really needs to work are a big number of people. So I'll back up a second. Right now there's about 100 people living there, and they're going to work up to 1,000. So they're only 10% of what they're going to be. The other thing it needs is spaces that encourage interaction with people, and they haven't really got there yet either. Like, for example, it's in Arizona, and they have a spot for a pool, but they haven't built it yet. I think that's coming later this year. So I don't think it's hit its stride yet, but I could see the potential in it. As soon as they get more people in there, and as soon as they have more stuff like a pool, like I could see hanging out by the pool, you're there cooking dinner or whatever on the barbecue, and then you randomly talk to people and have those interactions that create friendships. I think they're only beginning, so I'm super curious to see what this place is going to look like in a couple of years. I can definitely see the potential in it, but they have a little way to go before they reach that.
They have a grocery store there, although it was closing and going out of business when I arrived. So, like, I thought I was going to be able to get some snacks, but they were closing, they weren't open. And part of what you're saying, there's not a critical mass yet. So I want to see in like 3 years, because I think it'll be great then. There'll be some stores down there. If there's a grocery store, then you can get what you need and make the occasional trip to Costco or whatever. But the thing is, I've lived in apartment complexes that were right next to grocery stores and a bunch of other like retail, and that solved the problem. I mean, I don't drive that much anyway, and I like walking places, but you know, from where I sit, depending on where you live, like what city you live, like if you just live in an apartment complex that's close to retail and stuff, like that's really all you need. And I think, like you're saying, the community stuff, like that could all work out. But I mean, honestly, like me and you are not going to be hanging out by the pool all day, right? Like we'd bump into people in other places, probably at the gym or something.
Yeah.
Or do you hang out at the pool? I mean, you have a pool at your house.
Yeah, I do have a pool at my house, but I have sensitive skin. It's beautiful skin, right, Doug? You can see me right in front of you now.
I would call it supple. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's softer than it looks.
It is. If I'm out in the sun all day, I'm not going to have this beautiful skin anymore, Doug. So you're right. I'm not going to be out at the pool all day. But I would be there sometimes. And I'm kind of curious. I think the other thing that we're leaving out is just broadcasting that and selling it as this place. Hopefully it attracts the type of person who would be maybe a little bit more social and want to embrace all these values. If you have all these values, you're probably going to be more likely to build community there and relate to all the other people who move there. So I wonder if that will help things out with them eventually as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And one note about, actually, it should work out fine, because if they fill it up with 1,000 people, like even if only 20% are like actively social and have time to hang out or whatever, like that's quite a few people. That's more than even live there while we were visiting. So
yeah,
the e-bike thing is pretty cool, and we did ride e-bikes. And as I'm a non-cyclist, and I don't like to ride my bike on the road, even if there's a bike lane or whatever. So it was fine. I was not comfortable on that bike ride, like hardly at all, because I didn't know where I was going. Like we're people are going a little faster than, I mean, like we don't know where we're going at all. And there's like traffic zipping around. People are not paying attention to people on bikes. So anyway, I don't feel comfortable. And that was one of the things we interviewed the CEO and co-founder, right? And he's like, bike safety is like the number one thing that keeps people off the roads. And at 100%, I would ride a bike, and I ride on the Greenway back in Longmont, but like, I'm not going to ride on the road where there's kids on their fucking phones or whatever, or adults on their phones, or seniors. We're all offenders. Everyone drives horrible. So, but the point is, I'm not going to ride an e-bike, even if they like gave me an e-bike. I'm not going to ride it to Target or whatever. It's not safe.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what if the roads had, and in Madison, Wisconsin, where we lived at one point of our lives, they had the lanes were right next to the road, just like they were in Tempe, but they actually had physical barriers, like a cement thing, like built up. So I guess a car could get over that and nail you, but it would be pretty difficult. Would you be more comfortable if the roads had that?
With the cement barrier?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd feel way more comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. Far, far more comfortable, but yeah, that's pretty far off, I would say, right?
Yes, I think it might never happen, but what I'm optimistic about is I think the robot cars, like those things have a million sensors there. It would be a huge PR disaster if the Waymo car ran over a bicyclist. So I think we're going to be much, much safer on the roads as cars incorporate those safety features. And even now, like our Tesla, I know it didn't do so well when we drove it sometimes, but eventually they'll reach a point where the car is going to be hypersensitive of dangers like that. And I think we'll start to see deaths going down. But we're going off on a huge tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
And the good thing about this community is, you don't really need a car. I think people use like grocery delivery services. On the other hand, it would be boring just being in your apartment all the time either. That's not the life I want to live.
The thing that I... So it's warmer there in the winter, so that's a pro. But where it's located, I was only there 2 days. Keep this in mind. There wasn't a lot of stuff where I felt like I could walk to it and be at a place that I wanted to be. So in Longmont and other places that I've lived, I could walk like 5 minutes and be in a park and be sort of in wilderness. And I didn't get that feeling. I felt like I was in a concrete jungle. So I don't know if there's plans for parks, but there are artificial parks where there should be a desert. So that, I mean, the concept maybe would be better somewhere else for me personally. Some people, they love the desert, right? They think, I want to be among cacti. And there's a lot of scorpions, right? Scorpions are rampant.
Rattlesnakes, lots of different things that will kill you down there. Yes.
Yeah. But overall, it was cool. It was cool to hang out there. The gym was awesome, but I never got to work out.
Oh, the gym was epic. They had equipment there that I've never seen before, all kinds of machines, free weights. They had a spin room like for with the bikes. Oh yeah, gym was great.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, I could see like hanging out in the winter a little bit. I'm sure there is stuff to get to, but like, yeah, just immediately surrounding the area, I was just like, there's just a couple neighborhoods and just like a bunch of apartment buildings that are being built. So they weren't even up yet.
Yeah, I'll bet though, if we go back there in 3 or 4 years, all those apartment buildings are going to change the way that place looks. I suspect that Ryan built it there because he had access to cheaper real estate. You could tell that whole area was going through, I guess, gentrification. I'm not sure if that's the correct word. Mm-hmm. Is that politically correct? Has that word been canceled? But the area is definitely on the upswing. So I think if you go back there in a couple of years, like his development and all the other stuff, I'll bet there's going to be like a Trader Joe's right down the street. I'll bet they'll have a grocery store, and that whole area is going to be look much, much different than it does right now. I'm optimistic.
Yeah. I think 3 or 4 years, a lot more community. I think the one issue you may run into is you will then be in the middle of 4,000 apartment complexes, and then there's just a ton of people and traffic.
So, Doug, what I get from you are not a city person.
Not if I had the choice. In small, I think it'd be cool to visit for a short time, but yeah, I lived in places like that, and it was fine while I was there, but if I have the option, yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Because you don't want to go, or do you want to walk around in a city or whatever? Or?
No, I guess I'm kind of on the same page as you. We did live in Chicago, and I've been in New York, and I liked both those places, but what both of them had going for them is Chicago Preserve. The whole lakefront is like a green trail area with the beach, which is super nice. And whenever we've been to New York, we've stayed right by Central Park. So you've got this epic, I think it's like 2x5, or maybe it's 1x5 miles. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 1x2.5, but they've got this huge green space. So you've got the city part, you can go to museums, but then you can walk across, and it feels like you're in the middle of a forest at parks in Central Park. Yeah, I definitely need a balance. If I had to live in one or the other, it would not be, it'd probably be a medium-sized thing, maybe like a Madison or like a Longmont. We have access to outdoor stuff, but then we have restaurants and Taco Bell if you need that fix. It's all good.
And I think in conclusion, it was fine. I think it'll be awesome in a few years, and I love the concept. There's some tweaks. I came out hard. The other thing is like, wherever you go, your expectations need to line up with what you're going to. And I went in just like, I kind of looked at the map. And like I said, I was like, this is an apartment complex. And when I got there, like, that's what it turned out to be mostly. So like in the future, once it's built out in the way, you know, they want the concept to be, I think it'll be perfectly fine. There'll be a grocery store, plenty of residents to support it, and other retail and whatever. Yeah.
Cool. To be continued.
Yeah. All right. Next up is my courageous battle with pink eye. So I think I got it from using that microphone that you're talking into, Carl, right now. No, I'm just kidding. So my wife, Elizabeth, she got a cold, and she had it for about a month or so. And the last couple of weeks, she got pink eye. And I thought I was going to be fine. I didn't even get a cold. But then as I got back from our Phoenix trip, my eye turned pink. So luckily, it didn't happen when we were out there. But I turned pink, started running a fever, and it was a couple weeks of just feeling run down, had a fever for a couple days. The pink eye lasted about a week or so. And you saw me one of the days, and it was just super red. It wasn't too itchy, but it was very red and kind of gunky.
It was terrifying. I thought you were going to shoot like red lasers at me, kind of either like pink eye or a superhero that had some laser vision.
It was horrible. It was horrible. And I don't know the origin. Elizabeth did go to the doctor, and they said, sometimes this cold like will get to your eye, and it's just an eye infection, and it's not from anything you touched or anything your partner's touched, you know, nothing like that.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's mostly kids who get pink eye, and kids are filthy creatures, so sometimes they touch their nether regions and they touch their eyeballs, and that's how I just assumed everyone got pink eye. And if you don't want to own up to that, Doug, that's fine. We could talk offline afterwards.
It could be from anything, though. It's like, you know, I go to the bathroom, I touch that microphone you're talking into, and then next thing you know, like when you put your mouth on it, then you get pink eye. That's how it works.
That's great. I'm going to have pink eye and pink mouth, and who knows what. I can't wait.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know it's, you know, they say it's so contagious, and I mean, I believe them. I don't know. Have you ever had pink eye?
I have. I was a filthy kid when I had it, and I hope to never have it again. It was pretty miserable.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, like, I wash my hands like 60 times a day. I wash my hands constantly. So I'm just, I mean, obviously it could have been from, you know, just some incidental secondary touch or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So all clear. All right. Well, we do have a sponsor. We're actually going to meet Rich from Ghostbed, which is super cool. He's going to be here at Economy, so we may get him to chat with us at some point. But you guys ordered a new bed.
Yes, it should be there for us. It might be waiting for us when we get back from this conference. If not, it'll be there shortly afterward. And Doug, I think I mentioned this on previous podcasts. You'll have to come over and take it for a test drive or test sleep after it shows up.
I'll take a little nap. Yeah. So what is the feature you're most looking forward to on the one that you ordered?
So I sleep very, very hot. I'll often wake up like last night in this hotel. I woke up like covered in sweat, and I think we had the room turned down to like 65. So it wasn't warm or anything like that, but I just sleep hot. So I always have to, when I'm at home, I sleep with a chili pad, which is a water system that cools the mattress under you. And I don't have that, obviously, on the road. I'm not lugging this thing. So this Ghostbed Classic has cooling features, so I'm curious to see how that works out. Like, if you like to sleep hot, there's something wrong with you, right, Doug? Like, no one should want to sleep in a hot room. Like, I'd prefer like 58, but the rest of my family would stage a mutiny and throw me out of the house. But it'd be cooler outside the house, so it might be worth it. Yeah, so that's what I'm most looking forward to. Hopefully it sleeps cool.
Yeah, it's tough. I've gone on a lot of, you know, road trips where I'm like, man, it is so warm in the various rooms, and like the sheets are not great. But I know we have the Ghost Bed pillows, and they have the cooling gel on there, so I know it works well.
Yes.
So anyway, you'll have to let me know how it goes. And they are made in the USA with premium materials, and you get 101 nights sleep trial. So you can have your own little sleep experiment. I guess you could have 101 different people try it out for you, Carl.
That's pretty cool. Or 202 if you want to have shifts, like swap it out after 4 hours.
Oh, hot swap it.
Or you could do two at once. Like, that way you could work it out too. I'm not suggesting that you come over and sleep with me in the bed. I guess we could do that. We just have to set up some kind of barrier in the middle. I know you're an active sleeper and you roll over, and I think you sleep with that big like Costco teddy bear thing.
Yeah.
I don't want you to mistake me for the teddy bear and I wake up and your arms are wrapped around me, because like, yeah, I said, I sleep hot. I don't need your heat either, Doug.
Yeah. Or I wake up and you think I'm your body pillow. You have that doll shaped one you were telling me about. I think so. Okay, so thanks a lot to Ghostbed. You go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi, and you can use coupon code milehighfi at checkout for 50% off.
Yeah, super cool.
All right, so Carl, you have been trying a new fitness routine, so what's going on with that?
Yeah, I was talking to Brad Barrett. He was one of the people that was down in cul-de-sac with us, and like you probably noticed, Brad, I saw him here actually in Cincinnati about a year ago, and then I saw it this time, and he had bulked up. Like, he had probably 10 pounds of muscle. I'm like, Brad, what have you been doing? So I kept on asking him all these questions and wrote down what he's doing, and I'm trying to mimic what he's doing. I thought a lot of the things he said were pretty interesting. Did you ask him, or did you hear our conversations at all, Doug?
No, but I had talked to him a little bit in the past, so we've chatted about it too.
So one of the things I'm doing now that is different from what I did before is I do the whole upper body in one day. And what I used to do before was more of a P90X routine, where I do chest and back one day, and then a couple days later you do your arms and shoulders. And Brad's like, no, I do everything on the same day. You start with the big muscle groups first, which is obvious, and work your way down. So maybe back, chest, shoulders, triceps, and biceps. And that was the first thing, and I found that to be very good. I'll back up a second and tell you a story about that in a moment. But then the other thing he said is it's really important to, and I'll try to quote exactly what he said, you have to go so hard that you can't maintain your form. And as soon as you can't maintain your form anymore, that's when you stop. And he also said try to go very slow for the last couple to really get the strain on. And that makes sense. Like, the whole point of doing a set of 12 isn't the first 10, you're just building it up to wear yourself out for the last two. So I've been doing that. As soon as I feel a little bit of strain or I feel I might be close to failure, I turn it down so I go super slow and really get the burn in. So I've been doing those two things. And the story I was going to tell you before is I did this workout, and like, especially I can usually get a good workout for my back or chest, like the big muscle groups, maybe legs as well, but the bicep, I find that's harder to work out. I never felt like I was getting a good workout. But then I did this workout. The next day, I had a little bit of pain in the back and chest, and I noted that. And
like a good soreness.
Yeah, a good soreness. I like to feel a little bit of soreness, like I did something, a little bit of strain. And then I was carrying a box. I'm like, wow, my biceps like feel sore too. And I noticed that one other time when I was helping a friend move. So you're doing like isometric holds the whole time. So I really like this new routine, and I take measurements of myself. And I've actually been noticing like very, very gradual, but like a quarter inch gain. And I've never noticed a gain in myself at any time before. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this routine. It is very difficult. Like to go to failure is hard, right? Especially with the big muscles. And I'll back up a second and say the third thing that Brad said is to do machines. And I think I agree with that for some stuff. Like for pull-ups, one of the issues I had was, and I'll back up a second again, like if you're going for hypertrophy, like muscle growth and size, you need to get up to a higher number. You're not doing 3 to 5 like you do for strength. You got to get to maybe 12 or 14, or some people even say up to 30. And it's hard to do that with a pull-up because you just don't have the strength to do that many, especially at first. But I find with a machine, like I weigh about 160, so I can put on like 130 or 140 on the machine, so it's almost my body weight. And then I can get up to 12 or 14 reps. And I think I feel a lot better about the results doing that. Like not all machines, especially for the arm stuff, like the bicep stuff. Mm-hmm. But for that, I think it helps out a lot.
Yeah, I think obviously Brad's getting great results. He actually recorded an episode with his trainer, Dean Turner, I think is his last name.
Yes, Dean Turner.
So people should check out that episode. But yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the issues I had over the years, like I would just lift some weights and like never quite get to failure. So I was like actually maintaining, which is okay. But as I've like lifted heavier and then like actually tried to hit, you know, failure, while you still have good form, right? No, don't have bad form or do something that'll injure you. It makes a huge difference. Now, one thing with the machines, because I use some machines, but I've been doing more barbell stuff. The thing that you miss with machines is like you have to actually be able to balance and handle the weight and have that sort of dexterity. So what I'm thinking, like the stuff that I would want to do is like go outside and hike. If I am using a machine to do squats, I don't actually have to balance the weight. So that's something I want to talk to Brad about. But what do you think about that? Because like you're isolating the muscle. So if you're only focused on the muscle, that makes sense. But if you're like, I want to have practical usage of this strength, then you kind of need to be able to balance yourself.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of machines, especially for some stuff like the bicep machines. Like you've got this one very specific motion, and that thing is supposed to accommodate like all body types, and you can adjust it a little bit. But I think the compromise I found is to do like the lat pull down thing, because you're pulling down the bar, so you're not. I guess there's two machines at the gym. You could do the lat pull downs where you just have a bar and you're pulling up a stack of weights, and then you're still doing the balance part. The thing can go either way, and you're still controlling that. Or they've got a machine where it's just like one big thing and the motion is completely defined, like the curvature of the pull down and all that. So I try to err towards the former, where it's a machine, but it's kind of more like a hybrid between a free weight between an actual pull up and the machine. Your motion is being defined by you, not by the machine. There's got to be some better word for this, but hopefully you know what the hell I'm talking about.
No. It's like the machine forces you into a certain range of motion.
Yes.
And pull-ups are awesome, although I haven't, with my elbow injury, I haven't been doing pull-ups in a while, but like, I feel like not doing the lat pull-down, because it's right, your legs are secure, right?
Yes.
So like your core, if you do a pull-up, your core is not engaged as much as if you are actually doing like a real pull-up versus the lat pull-down where you're like, you're fastened down.
Yeah.
So, but you can't have everything, right? So if you're focusing on like getting higher reps, like you talked about, then the lat pull-down makes sense, or the sissy pull-ups you were talking about.
Thanks. And how did you injure your elbow again?
I did too many pull-ups.
Okay. Is it one elbow? Which elbow is it?
It's my, actually both of them. Okay. Both elbows, but more so on the left.
Okay. That's fine. I won't probe any deeper, but...
Oh, so one more thing on the fitness. What you were telling me about, I don't know the name of it, but what's that exercise you do for your inner thighs? Which one was that one?
Oh, was that the, who was the lady who used to sell that thing on TV?
Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, you'd squeeze the thing. Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Thigh master.
Yeah, that and the shake weight. You can do them both at the same time. You got the thigh master and then two shake weights. You can just go to town. Like, it's almost a whole body workout. And like, and you can find these things at the thrift store. So a whole body workout for $10 in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's awesome. And have you ever tried to do the shake weight with your feet? You hold it with both feet and just... shake it like that.
I have not. Are you on your back when you do this?
Yeah, that's the only way.
I guess you could be sitting. I'd probably loosen it. It'd fall on my face, but I don't know. Maybe.
We got to get some shake weights. We got to do this.
We should come out with a fitness video. Mile high fight fitness, like FI. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like P69X. So I don't know. I don't. We got to work on that. I'm not sure.
It's a natural extension of our brand.
Yeah, we talked about fitness so much. Maybe that'll be our big thing. Like, we'll shut down this show and then we'll have a fitness show where we give our tips.
Yeah.
All right. So you, I don't know. Something happened on Facebook. What's the story with this?
Oh man, Doug. I know you avoid social media and. I usually do too. I use it to consume certain content, like maybe to keep up with developments with some of the companies I invest in. And I usually don't. You've heard the term doom scrolling before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Facebook tries to throw this shit at you because they want you to become enraged and mad and comment on these things. And usually I avoid that at all costs. Like, I can never engage in any of this, especially like the real crazy stuff. But... yeah, some things are near and dear to my heart. I'll back up a second, and I'm going to get serious here for a second, but there's a reason for it. There are two times in my life, like, I thought I was going to die in the next minute, and it's because I have asthma. So as a kid, the first time was I opened up this big container of chlorine and inhaled some of it, so I'm like, and it's weird when you, like, no matter how hard you breathe in, you can't catch your breath, and it's terrifying. Like, in that split second, you're like, oh my God, like, this is it. This is the end. I'm going to die. And then the second time was actually recently. I was working in my attic. I stirred up a bunch of dust. It was cold. And I'm like, so, like, you can't breathe. And it's absolutely terrifying. So then I was reading this article about, it was some rich community in California where a bunch of rich people and everyone drove Teslas. And this, it's a credible study. We can link to it in the show notes. And I can't remember who did it. But the incidence of asthma went way down with kids, and kids are affected more than asthma by adults, and they thought it was because of drivelines. There's not all these cars, like, spewing out pollution on the driveline, so the amount of hospital visits, I believe, went way down. It was measurable as a statistically significant thing. So I'm a fan of EVs, and... so I was on Facebook. This brings me back to the original story. And this guy, he's a friend. He's a good guy. He might even be here this weekend. I'm going to look around to see if he's here. And I don't see him. But he posts something on Facebook like, I will never, ever buy a product from Elon Musk. I will never give that man any money. And that hurts me a little bit because Elon Musk has some issues. But I think, like, deep down, he's a net positive for humanity. He didn't invent the electric car, but he certainly popularized it, and now everyone's working on that. So I'm like, you know, this bothers me a little bit, and I'm going to respond to it, which you should never do. And I think I wrote, I tried to keep it just very stoic and emotions out of it. I think I said something like, well, yeah, Elon Musk is a clown on social media, but I think he's a net benefit for humanity. He's helped move electric cars forward. The U.S. would be in a lot of trouble without his rockets and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, that goes nowhere because people just back into their corner and tell you that you're an idiot and they'll never buy anything that associated with that man. And they hate him and all this stuff. So I'm never doing this again, Doug. I should just delete my Facebook account. I needed to help promote our stuff, but I don't know. You're smarter than me. You don't engage in these stupid, silly shit.
No. I mean, I think the only way to do it is to, like, really just troll, you know? So, like, if you left a comment and then just, like, closed it and didn't look how any response came back, that's the only way to do it. I mean, I don't do that because, like,
Well, of course, no one does that. You leave your comment, and then you come back and look for the other comment, which I did, and his comment was, well, it sounds like you want to get married to Elon Musk. I'm like, God damn it. Like, this went down quickly. This escalated exactly to how you would expect. So after that, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way to win with it. And then, I mean, like, I don't doom scroll, but Instagram is my thing. But usually it's like puppies, guitars, and like some fitness stuff maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. So it's just like happy stuff. Puppies are great.
Facebook should have a filter like, I don't want to engage with, and this guy isn't an asshole, but I don't want to engage with any, I'm not even sure what the filter would be, but... Yeah.
Nothing negative, right? Because they have AI, like they know if it's a positive or a negative feel or whatever.
Yeah, the whole, you would call that virtue signaling, right? Am I using that term right?
That sounds right, yeah.
So I was at the airport yesterday and I saw more examples of it, which made me think of this other guy, the Elon Musk comment. So some guy had a picture of like an AR-15 on his shirt and he said, try taking this away from me. And then right after that, I saw a guy with another shirt. God, we're getting into politics. We shouldn't do this. But he had another shirt that said something like that. And I have shotguns. They're fine. But the need to publicly signal all this stuff is annoying. And now we're probably going to get shitty comments because I'm talking about this stuff.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
When it's like you're wearing all this Kirkland gear.
I know. If people hate Costco, they're going to be triggered by this. Yeah. Doug's got one, too. So I don't really give a shit what you believe in. Just why do you feel the need to publicly tell everyone about it?
Yeah.
It doesn't. The thing that annoys me about it is no matter what you believe, if you're on one side or the other, it doesn't do any good. It just, the people who agree with you on whatever your thing is are going to give you a thumbs up and like it. And the people who hate it are going to be annoyed by it. Like, I guess I'm talking about right now. And I should just like not pay attention to any of it. This is all stupid.
It is. Well, I was going to say, it leads you down the road of nihilism, basically, which I think, you know, that rubs people the wrong way sometimes. But it's like, you just reasoned yourself into it. And eventually you're just like, nothing matters.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what's your grand conclusion? What did you learn?
My grand conclusion is not to engage people on Facebook. And I still think I think having this conversation in person would have been fine because there's so much nuance lost. And, you know, funny enough, the Elon Musk thing, I heard a Kimball Musk interview on Lex Fridman. Did you hear that one? He's Elon Musk's brother. And he said he was sitting in a restaurant and some guy said, like, 9/11 never happened. It's a fabrication of the government. So Kimball was like, I listened to this guy for 6 minutes. And when he was done, I said, hey, I was actually in New York City and watched all this stuff go down. And the whole 9/11 thing is irrelevant, but his point was, because we were in person, because we could see each other's reactions, we were empathetic to each other, we actually had a civil conversation, and this is something that never could have happened online. So therefore, it's stupid to engage in any of this shit online, or probably in person, really. If someone really wants to hate on something, you're not going to convince them of something else, so it's best just to avoid the whole thing in the first place, which I generally do. We've got some very political relatives and just usually ignore them on both sides.
Yeah. I wonder if he was on a plane because I'm like, someone talking about something for 6 minutes before you interject. I'm like, that's kind of a long time. So maybe he was stuck.
Kimball Musk is a restaurant entrepreneur and he has community tables in restaurants. Have you ever heard of that concept before?
Oh, yeah. Like you sit with just random different people and it's like family style.
Yes. And he said he happened to be sitting next to this person. I think I'm getting the story right, and that's how he engaged with this person.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Fine.
Sounds like a fun dinner.
Yeah, sounds great. It makes me never want to sit at a community table.
Sometimes that's all right, but yeah. Okay. And wrapping it up here, so Elizabeth, my wife, she's actually going to put in her notice tomorrow. At the time that we're recording this, so by the time this comes out, I think she will have already worked her last day and stuff. So yeah, big changes.
Doug, this is super cool. And the reason I put this in there was, I think it was the very first time I met Elizabeth. It was at our co-working space. We had a meetup there, and I was talking to her. It was just her and I, and somehow the topic of fire came up, and she kind of looked at me with this very skeptical look and said, you know, I know this place is about that, but I don't think she said I don't believe it. but it was clear she wasn't on board with it. And that was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago at this point. So it's pretty cool to see her come full circle to being very skeptical of it, which she should be, to being completely on board and leaving her job. And I hope her retirement is freaking awesome like ours is, right? Like, there's no way. Is there any way you would ever, like, how we've had this conversation before. Like, would you ever go back to work? Maybe for a severe amount of money for a very short amount of time, but it would have to be, it would have to be something that no one would be willing to do. Like, no one's going to pay me $100 million to go back to work for 3 months, which is probably what it would take, right?
Yeah. For me, no. And you're right. Yeah. Actually, I was just talking to our friend Bob Haynes about, you know, that day, the first event that we went to at your co-working space. And yeah, and the thing is, like, she was probably, you know, two things. One, I had probably badgered her for a couple years at that point. It's like, hey, like, we can stop, like, we could probably stop working now. So in my opinion, I think we probably, like, when we talked, like, we probably hit FI at that point, in my opinion. But she's a lot more pessimistic and conservative, and like, our projections are, like, the returns are maybe 60% of what most people use for their returns. So, like, we're super conservative. The point being, she was probably used to hearing me, like, hey, you know, we're FI, blah, blah, blah. And she didn't believe it. So finally, after, you know, compound interest kicks in, at some point, even she believes we're FI now. We did start working with financial advisors to, you know, have a neutral third party that does this day in and day out. So that gave her confidence. The other thing that day, and I think this is less common nowadays, but like, there were some very sort of, in air quotes, militant, like, FI evangelists who were like, oh, you got to quit your job. Like, why are you working? And I'm pretty sure Elizabeth just talked to, like, one oddball there who was, like, a little more aggressive and, like, really turned her off, like, that same day. And it's taken a while for her to, like, come back around. So yeah, she finally made it. And the other thing is, like, her job eventually got bad enough where she was like, I want to quit. And she thinks we have enough money now, too. So yeah, big changes, because, I mean, it's like turning a ship. So it took, whatever, 5 years, basically.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm really curious to see what her mindset is in 6 months. Like, I'll bet she's really going to like it. You do encounter, and I've actually never encountered someone like this in person, but I've heard about it a couple times where someone quits, and then 6 months later, they were bored, so they went back to their job. But Diana mentioned this when we interviewed her. Diana from Economy, which is where we're at right now, said when people have these issues, it's because of lack of imagination. And I think that's totally true. There's, like, the world is so big. There's so many great things to do. If you can't figure out anything to do besides your job, you're not stupid, but I don't think you're thinking about it hard enough or putting enough effort into it, because, man, there's so much shit to do in this world, so many places to see.
Yeah.
People interact with projects. Like, I've got a list. I'm a pretty boring person, and I've got a huge list that I'll never get through. So I think it'll turn out the same for Elizabeth. I don't think she's going back to work ever.
Well, that was the other thing. She wanted, whenever she stopped working, she wanted it to be so certain that she would never have to go back to work again. I think she will, but she didn't want to have to. Yeah. That said, the other thing, so I think, like, lack of imagination, sure. But I think fear is what drives some people back. And I think, luckily, the market's looking good now. Maybe it'll be okay for a couple of years. But I think fear is what would drive Elizabeth back. She would be like, oh, we're going to run out of money. Which is crazy, because it's more than we've ever had, ever, right?
Yeah.
Like, with the market up right now. But yeah, that sort of scarcity mindset could drive someone back to work, I think.
Sure.
So, but our projections and our plan is so conservative, like, I think we'll be in great shape.
Yeah.
So, and I want to make sure she decompresses enough. And I think it could take her 1 to 2 years.
Okay.
Way on tight, as you know.
I'm like 7 years in as of April. I don't know if I've decompressed yet.
Yeah. When are you going to really take some time off?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. Maybe this summer. Is Elizabeth on the Yoga Pod crew? Are you familiar with this at all? Or?
I'm not.
Like, I hardly see Mindy. There's all these early retiree, mostly females, I think all females, that join the Yoga Pod. Some yoga. I've never done yoga in my life, but like, I hardly ever see Mindy because she's always at the Yoga Pod. She's like, I'm doing like worm yoga. I'm like, you're going to put earthworms on yourself? No, worm, W-A-R-M. I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
I thought it was hot yoga. It's just warm now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she does that, but she was in a session, and the next session was that, so they started cranking up the heat. I think it was some where they focused on like squats the whole time. So she's doing squats, and they're cranking up the heat. It sounds like hell. I want no part of this, and they're paying for this torture, so no thank you for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Okay, awesome.
So we'll check in. Yeah, I think she actually said she'll be on the podcast. She was like, once she quits, she'll be on the podcast so we could interview her.
Super cool. I have one more thing to tell you, or better yet, show you, Doug. Have you seen my new haircut?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. I've been wearing a cap. So I wanted to cut my hair, and Mindy's like, can I cut it? I'm like, okay. You usually do that anyway. She's like, can I do whatever I want with it? I'm like, as long as you're not going to dye it pink. I mean, I like the Barbie movie. That was great, but I don't really want pink hair. And yeah, so she cut my hair how she wants it. And I don't know if it's going to last, and I have a hat on right now.
Are you going to take it off?
I'm going to take it. It's going to be a big reveal. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can come see it. I'm kind of uncomfortable this day, because if it was up to me, I would just like take the guard and cut my hair all the same length every time and just look the same. Or like you, I don't care. But are you ready to see it, Doug?
I'm ready to see it.
Okay. So she like cut all the sides off, so that's very short. But then she left all the hair on top.
Oh.
So
that looks fine.
I don't know. But then, like, I'm like, man, I actually got to put some product in my hair because it's all over the place. She's like, no, I like it when it like sticks straight up or something. I'm like, I don't think I like that. I look like some kind of a psychopath or something like that. She's like, no, it's good. I'm like, I don't know.
No, it looks fine. I was going to say, you got a haircut a few weeks ago. It's just a little more of the same, right?
I think so. Usually I might have a little bit of contrast, but she put a lot of contrast in there.
Yeah. So you feel a little self-conscious?
I do. I don't like drawing attention to myself. It's kind of a weird thing. So
whenever I talk and look, I'll just look at your head the whole time. I'm looking like slightly over your eyes. so you're like, oh man. No, it looks fine. If you didn't tell me, I wouldn't even notice.
Doug, if you grew your hair out, you could have the mirror image. Yours would be, like, mine short on the sides, long on top. Yours would be short on top and long on the sides.
Yeah.
It'd be such a good, like, mirror image contrast.
Yeah. We'd look really, really sharp. Yeah, it looks fine. I wouldn't even notice. It looks fine. You know what it looks like? I'll tell you off air. It's inappropriate. No. Okay, anything else, Carl?
I think that's it, Doug.
All right. We got to get ready for this opening party.
Yeah.
And all right, we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah, super cool. See you, Doug.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast. And I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host. And Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week.
All right, Carl, we are recording the sound check here in the lobby of the Fairfield. So where are we at? Tell people where we're at.
So we are at Economy in Cincinnati. Doug and I both got in late last night. And yeah, we're in the lobby of the conference hotel. A lot of people are staying here. There are a lot of people kind of right behind me. So this is a little bit intimidating. It's kind of noisy and lots of people right there talking about stuff. So we got to do our best, Doug.
Yeah, it is a little intimidating. Usually we're just huddled down. And actually, a lot of people say the studio is intimidating with all the lights and the camera and all that stuff. But yeah, actually, no one's even paying attention to us here at all.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully no one comes and tries to screw with us, but I think we'll be okay.
So yeah, later on today, in just a few hours, we're hosting our welcoming party, right?
Yes.
And I don't know how many people to expect. How many people do you think will be there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I told the venue that we would have between 50 and 100, but I'm actually thinking it might be more than this. So I sent them an email warning them of that. I think they have the capacity for 200, but it should be interesting. I think in past years, maybe, well, what is there? We'll back up a second. There should be about 500 people who attend Economy, but the opening party isn't advertised. So I know a lot of people specifically changed their flights to come in for it, but there's probably as many people who didn't even know it was going to happen. So yeah. I don't know how many we'll get. We'll see.
I think a little bit different this year. Yeah, I'm not sure. I got 200 name tags. So I was like, we could have 200. Luckily, that's the capacity.
Yeah.
So we should be all right. But last year, I don't think Diana sent out like an announcement via email, but she did for ours. So like, I think at least everyone that's coming knows about it.
Okay. Hopefully Hopefully a million people don't show up and it turns into a riot situation where they run out of beer and people set the place on fire and throw chairs through their windows. And nah, that's not going to happen. This is a good crowd.
Yeah. Luckily there's a lot of people that don't like us. So I think they're just going to not attend. So we see those reviews, you know, we know what's going on.